Book of Jeremiah, chapter number 36, is our thought for this morning. Jeremiah, chapter number 36. We appreciate your good attention. We appreciate that singing. And thankful for those that sung. Amen. Jeremiah, chapter number 36. If you found your place and you'd like to stand with us, we'll read the first 8 verses in your hearing. And then I'll encourage you to keep your Bibles open. And we'll return to the text often this morning and give you the thought God has placed upon our heart for this Sunday morning. You being much in prayer for us that the Lord will help us as we preach, all right? Jeremiah chapter 36, verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. That it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I have purposed to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, and the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the house in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah, and it came that come out of their cities. And it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house." Father, we thank you for the opportunity given us to preach this morning. And I pray for a measure of grace and a measure of power. Lord, help us to be able to preach the Word of God with anointing and with authority. Lord, I pray that you'd help these people hear and receive this Word as it is in truth, the Word of God. Touch lives and change hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Undoubtedly, the passage before us is one of the greatest illustrations in the entire Word of God relating to the inspiration and the preservation of God's Word. This chapter is also one of the greatest illustrations in all the Bible regarding man's attitude toward that Word. The Bible says in verse number 1, I believe it is, that in the 4th year, the reign of Jehoiakim, which would have been 605 B.C., that the word of the Lord once again comes to the prophet Jeremiah. Now this was the same year that Pharaoh Necho came from Egypt against Israel and made Judah a slave state to the Egyptians. The nation of Israel and the nation of Judah at this time are in utter disrepair. They are in an utter mess. And to make matters worse, Jehoiakim is reigning upon the throne. Jehoiakim is not reigning because he's a good man, but because the Egyptians put away his brother and made him king. Jeremiah now receives a word from God, and God gives him explicit instructions in what he wants him to do. At this time, Jeremiah has been ministering in Israel for 23 years. Jeremiah was just a young man when God called him to be a preacher of righteousness, to be a prophet, to be a minister. And he's now been preaching in Israel for 23 years. And after 23 years, God speaks to him and says, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a book and write down everything that I've said to you over these past 23 years. Every prophecy you've given, every message you've spoken, every time you've prophesied to the nation, write it down in a scroll or in a book. This week I began to think about the Word of God that you and I have in our laps this morning. And I believe that the Word of God that you have in your lap is undoubtedly one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to the world that we live in. This word was created in a miraculous way. It was preserved in a miraculous way. And it still does miraculous things to those people that read it. Amen. This is a miraculous book given in a miraculous way from a miraculous God. And it is one of His greatest gifts to mankind. Amen. In fact, I believe this. I believe that the Bible that you hold today has the answer to every problem that you'll ever face. Amen. There is nothing that you will face today that this Bible does not have the answer to. In fact, this Bible answers one of man's greatest questions. It answers the question of what happens to life after death. What happens when we die? And this book gives us a road map of how we can make it from this life into the presence of God in the next life. God tells us all about it right here in the pages of this Word of God. Amen. You say, well, I'm struggling with something today, preacher. Can I give you some advice? This Bible has the answer to what you're dealing with. Amen. You say, well, I've got financial problems. This Bible has the answer. You say, I've got emotional problems. This Bible has the answer. You say, I've got anger problems. This Bible has the answer. I've got spiritual problems. This Bible has the answer. I've got soul problems. This Bible has the answer. This Bible has the answer to everything you'll ever face in your life. In fact, this Bible's more up to date than the Sunday newspaper that came out this morning. It tells us what happened yesterday. It tells us about the world we're living in today. And it tells us what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm thankful for this Bible. But you know something that amazes me? Something that amazes me is the way that people react to the Word of God. The Bible has all the answers to everything we could ever face. And it lays upon a shelf in our house and collects dust. If most people were to get their Bibles out today and read them, you know what they'd have to do to them first? Y'all might as well help me. I'm preaching this morning. That's right. They'd have to dust her off first if they was going to read them. In fact, some people think that these are only for Sunday books. Amen. This is what we use on Sunday. So when Sunday's over with, right there she is, and they head on to the house. Amen. Now you say, well, I've got another one at home. Well, do you read the other one at home? Amen. Amen. Well, well, well. I read a little poem this week. I read a poem, and this is what it says. It says, Ma, I found an old dusty thing high upon a shelf. Just look. Why, that's the Bible, Tommy dear. Be careful. That's God's book. God's book, the young man said. Then, Ma, before we lose it, we'd better send it back to God, because you know we never use it. Amen. In this chapter, we see not only how God's Word was given, but we see how people reacted to the Word of God that was given to them. What we'll discover is that some people heeded it, some people ignored it, and some people got angry about it. Amen. And it's the same way we react to it this morning. I want to preach a message today entitled, God's Word and You. God's Word and You. I want you to notice three things out of chapter number 36. I want you to see this first of all. Maybe you can write this down if you take notes. Number one, I want you to see the process. I want you to see the process. Look at verse number one again, please. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day that I spake unto thee, from the day of Josiah even unto this day. Then look at verse 4. And Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. The Bible says, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the Lord comes to Jeremiah and tells him that he wants him to record or to write down all the prophecies that he's given over the past 23 years. I believe God did this for two reasons. God wanted his word, first of all, to be permanent. I believe that while it is true that many Jews passed down the word of God by mouth and they passed down teachings and they passed down traditions by word of mouth from one generation to another generation, I believe that God had a plan in mind and he had a process in mind. And God wanted there to be a permanency to his word. And so therefore, he said, I want you to take a piece of paper and I want you to take a pen and I want you to write it down that my word may be a permanent word. You remember when Moses and the children of Israel went out and fought against Amalek, and you remember how Moses held his hands up and God won a great victory there over Amalek that day through Joshua. The Bible says this in Exodus 17:14. After that battle, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will truly put out the remembrance of Amalek from heaven. God said to Moses after that battle, he said, I want you to write down everything that happened here today, because Joshua is going to need to read this at some point down the line. God wanted there to be a permanency to his word. Amen. Then Moses in Deuteronomy 31:24, and it came to pass when Moses made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished. You see, God had his man oftentimes write down what he was saying so this would be a permanent word. You see, this is God's forever word. This is permanent. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. God wanted this to be a permanent word. But not only that, God not only wanted it to be permanent, but God said, Jeremiah, I want you to write it down so somebody else can read it. Write it down so somebody else can read it. Jeremiah, somebody's going to need to hear what you've said. Somebody's going to need to hear what I've said. They're going to need to read it for themselves. And so I want you to write it down. God's word is so powerful that God does not want it to be hidden. Do you realize that in what we call in history the Dark Ages, do you know why they were the Dark Ages? They were the Dark Ages for the most part because the Catholic Church was taking these and burning them if you had them. They didn't want the average man, the common man, to have a copy of the Word of God that they could understand. You know why? Because, well, first, they wanted to rule the nation, for one. They wanted to be in control. And they realized something. They realized that a man or a woman with a copy of God's Word in their hand that they could read and understand was a powerful thing. And it's still a powerful thing this morning. I see the permanence here, I see the process. I want you to notice this letter A about the process. I want you to see the giving in the process. He said, I want you, Jeremiah, to write down the words that I have spoken unto you. The giving of God's word. I want you to see what takes place. God speaks to Jeremiah the prophet and directs him to write down or record the words in book form that he had given him. Now, can you imagine this? Can you imagine God asking you to write down every sermon you had ever preached over the last 23 years? Now, I'll be honest with you. Brother Eric, I'm sure this never happened to you. You're a better preacher than me. But I've been sitting at home during the week at time to time, Brother Scott, and tried to think of what I preached the Sunday before and struggled with it. You know, as a preacher, you'd like to think that everybody just hangs on every word that you say and they never forget it. You think, boy, I may have said that before. They'll remember I said that. Let's be honest. Sometimes I can't remember what I said. That's the truth. But he said, Jeremiah, every message you've ever preached for the past 3 years, I want you to write them down. Now, Jeremiah didn't have a Google Drive account like I do. and he couldn't go back and pull up his Word documents like I can and look at those old messages. He didn't have that. How did Jeremiah then record every message he'd ever preached for the past 23 years? You know how he did it? God gave them to him. This is what we call Bible inspiration. Bible inspiration. Inspiration is the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit through human writers to write down the divine words of God. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, and he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness. God gave Jeremiah the words that he was to write down in that book. You know the thing I find interesting about inspiration? Inspiration was God moving through human instruments to record his word. But God, while using those human instruments, did not bypass the writers, but he allowed the writers to use their own vocabulary, their own dialect, and their own style. You see, God directed what was being said. He controlled what was being said, but he allowed the men to say it in their own words and in their own ways. You see, that's what this Bible is this morning. These aren't the words of Jeremiah and the words of Moses and the words of David and the words of Paul and the words of Peter. These are the words of God. God gave this word. God inspired this word. God directed this word. I see in chapter 36, I see the giving of the word of God, the process. I not only see the giving, but I see the going of the word of God. In verse 10, the Bible says, Then read Barak in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Not only did God use human instruments to record his word, God used human instruments to proclaim his word. It seems at this time that Jeremiah was somehow shut out of the temple. He could not go into the temple area, no doubt for the message that he had been preaching. And so therefore he sends his scribe, Barak, to go in his place. And Barak waits for the right time. Obviously they had declared a feast in Judah, no doubt because of the Babylonian oppression, and they wanted to have a feast day. And they'd planned this feast day for some time. And when the feast day comes, Barak finds his opportunity. And the Bible says he goes into the inner court of the Lord's house, and he goes up into one of those upper chambers, and probably from a window or probably from a balcony, he stands in the Lord's house and he begins to read the words of Jeremiah to all the people. He's preaching the word of God's what he's doing. Now think about this with me. This is a wonderful picture of how God intends for the gospel to work. Now I don't understand this, but God has chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Is that not what the Bible says? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. This is what God's plan was. God's plan, he would inspire men to write down the word of God, and then he would inspire men to preach the word of God. That was his plan. And here this young man is, and he is reading from the words of Jeremiah. Now, these weren't Jeremiah's words. Remember, we said God gave him these words. Didn't we say that? So therefore, really, he is reading God's word before the people. He's giving them God's word. He is doing what God has called him to do. He is being a human instrument to get the word of God out to all the people. And that's still God's plan. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, the Bible says. This man was preaching the word of God. You know, it is both amazing to me, and I'll be honest with you, a little humorous to me, the way that people respond to the preaching of the word of God. People will love you. You are their favorite preacher. Oh, we love that preacher. He's such a good preacher. Oh, he's such a good little preacher. Amen. They'll treat a preacher like a puppy dog. Amen. Oh, they're such a good, until the puppy dog bites them one time. And then they don't like it no more. Amen. Oh, he's my favorite preacher until he preaches on something that you're in the middle of. Can you believe what he said at church this morning? Well, he ought to mind his own business. Who is he to meddle in? He knew I was doing that. That's why he said that. Amen? Oh, yeah, neighbor, that's the way that it is. And they'll get upset at the preacher. Paul asked this question. He said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Amen? I remember old J. Vernon McGee said one time that he, preaching from his pulpit there in California, and he said he had a little plaque made that was on the back of his pulpit, and I'd love to have one of these. And on the back of his pulpit, he had a little plaque made, and that plaque said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." It said that on the back of his pulpit. He said, but I never had the guts to do it, but I wanted to have one more plaque made and put it on the outside of the pulpit, and I wanted it to say, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Amen. Amen. And Barak is giving out the word of God. And can I say that when we stand up here, and if I'm preaching from this King James Bible, and I am giving you what God has given to me, then it is not my words, it is God's words. And if you get upset with me by proxy, you're getting upset with Him. And if you're angry with me, you better take it up with Him, because it's His word, not mine. Amen. I see the process. He gives the word of God. I see the giving and I see the going. But not only do I see the process, but number two, I see the purpose of God's word. I see the purpose of God's word. God tells us the purpose. Look at verse number two. It says, "Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day, that it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil that I have purposed to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sins." You see, everything God does, He has a purpose for doing. And God had a purpose for this. We don't always understand God's purpose, by the way, but that doesn't mean He does not have a purpose nonetheless. God asked Jeremiah to record his words for a purpose, and the purpose for Jeremiah recording these words was given in verse 2 and verse number 3. I want you to see letter A, God's plan. I want you to see God's plan. God's plan in verse 3 was that by giving His word, the people could hear that word, repent of their sins, and avoid judgment. This was a nation that was under the heavy hand of a judging God. They were in the midst of wrongs. They had rebelled against God. And so God is going to send them a preacher with a word so they can repent and avoid the judgment of God. May I say that God has no pleasure and finds no pleasure in punishing His children. God does not want to punish His children. Some people portray God as some big angry God with a big stick in His hand, just looking for somebody else to whoop up on for doing something wrong. But that's not the way my God works. Amen? God doesn't find pleasure in that. In fact, God does everything that God can do in chapter 36 to turn these people around so He doesn't have to punish them. And you know what He does? He gives them a written word of God and a preacher. Can I say that God has done everything for you and God has done everything for me so that we can avoid the judgment of God? This same book that told these people how to avoid judgment is the same book that tells you and me how to avoid judgment. God has given us a plan. God has given us a way. God has given us His Word, and He said, if you'll just listen to this, it'll save you a whole lot of trouble down the road. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but was long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's been long-suffering to some people. And I'll be honest with you, there's some of you that God's been long-suffering with. Amen? There's been times He's been long-suffering with me. There's been times He should have took off His belt and whooped us more than He did. Amen? Y'all are parents, most of you. You got children. You know how it works. You don't take any pleasure in taking that belt off, do you? You don't find any pleasure in getting that switch off that tree. You don't want to do it. And you give them your word so they won't do it, do you not? Look, I told you not to do that. Don't pull your sister's hair. If you pull your sister's hair again, I'm going to have to give you a spanking. Isn't that what you do? You're giving them your word. You know why you're giving them your word? You don't want the whipping to come. But if you give them your word and they keep pulling their sister's hair, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to say, enough's enough, it's judgment day. Amen? They wouldn't listen to your word. So they, you know, some people don't like to listen. They like to feel. Amen? And it's the same way spiritually. Some people won't listen, so they got to feel. I want you to notice this. I want you to see not only God's plan, but I want you to see man's problem. I want you to see man's problem in chapter 36. God tells the prophet to record the words for the purpose of helping the nation. Go preach it to them so maybe they'll repent. Jeremiah gives it to Barak. Barak records it in a scroll. More than likely, it took him about a year to do it. In verse number 1, it's the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim. When he goes out and rehearses it in the ears of the people, it's the fifth year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Probably took him a year to write all this down. He goes out, sends the preacher out with the word of God, and he says, go out, preach it to them. Go out, give it to them. And this is the word of God, so we know how it works, right? No doubt everybody in Israel listened, and they repented, and they were delivered from their evil. Isn't that the way it worked? No, that's not the way it worked. In fact, I want you to see three things that happened, three ways people reacted. Notice the way the congregation reacted in verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says, then read Barak in the book all the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe in the higher court, and the entry of the new gate in the Lord's house. In the ears of all the people, what did these people do when they heard the word of God? They ignored it. I read in verse 10 where the congregation hears the word of God. I read in verse 10 where the preacher preached the word of God. But nowhere do I read where anybody ever gave any response to God's word. This young man stands up in the ears of all the people and he reads the words of Jeremiah. And the words of Jeremiah, the words of judgment. Judgment's coming, repent. Judgment's coming, repent. And you know what they do? They just go about their business like nothing had ever happened. You know what most people are doing with the Word of God today? They're ignoring it. The preacher can stand up on Sunday and preach till his throat is hoarse and his eyes are bug-eyed and he's sweating. And he can give them the Word of God and they sit there and they're thinking about something else. They're working the job and they're cutting the grass and they're washing the dishes and they're balancing the checkbook and they're clipping their fingernails. What'd the preacher preach on? I don't know. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the Word of God goes out. People just keep doing the same old stuff they've always done. Just ignore it. The preacher will preach something, and they'll say, well, I hope so-and-so's listening. I hope they're listening to this message this morning. I hope you're listening to this message this morning. Congregation just ignored it. God's word. And just ignored it. I see not only the way the congregation took to the word of God, but I see the way Micaiah did in verse 11. In verse 11 in Micaiah, he hears the word of God, and so he does something. He becomes concerned. The Bible says this young man receives the word of God. He believes the word of God, and he wants to do something about the word of God. He's there in the court that day, and he hears the word of God come in the words of Jeremiah, and he hears the words of judgment and the need of repentance. And the Bible says he gets concerned, and he runs to the princes, and he tells the princes, "You all better hear what this man's preaching down here. We better do something about this. We better repent. We better get a hold of God. Somebody better go get the king. Somebody better tell the king. We better do something about this word that we've heard." I'm thankful out of all those people, at least one person heard the word of God and wanted to do something about it. Amen. Can I say something to you this morning? If everybody else ignores the word of God, you be the Micaiah that hears the word of God and lets it affect your life. Amen. If God tells you to come to an altar, you come. Don't matter if anybody else does or not. Amen. If God tells you to do something, you do it. Doesn't matter if everybody else does it or not. You just do what God's told you to do. Amen. Micaiah hears the word of God. This is interesting. Micaiah is the grandson of Shaphan. Shaphan, you may not recognize that name, but when Josiah was the king, Josiah was a good king. He started tearing down those high places. He started tearing down those groves. They reopened the house of God. They found an old book in the house of God. You remember that? And they took the word of God back to Josiah and read it to Josiah. Shaphan was one of the ones that found the book in the house of God, got concerned about it, and took it back to the king for him to read and hear. And now his grandson, here his grandson is doing something about the word of God. Amen. Not only Micaiah, but I see the way the king in verse 23 and verse 24 reacted. I want you to see what happened. And it came to pass that when Jehudiah read three or four leaves, he cut it with a pen knife and cast it in the fire that was on the hearth till all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid nor repented nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of its servants that heard all these words. When Micaiah gets concerned, he goes and tells the princes, and they go and tell the king. The king says, "Well, bring me that word of God and read it to me." And he's in his winter house, the Bible says. He's got a fire burning next to him. And they begin to unroll that scroll, 23 years worth of sermons. The book that you hold in your hand this morning called the book of Jeremiah. And they start reading it to him. And they read three or four scroll leaves. The Bible says the king would reach over and cut apart that part out, wad it up, and throw it in the fire. And he would read him another message, and he would cut it off and throw it in the fire. Throw it in the fire. And the Bible says in verse 24, he was never afraid. He never rent his clothes. His men wasn't afraid. Instead of heeding and hearing the word of God, you know what he did? He got angry at the word of God. The word of God spoke to him, and it spoke about him, and he didn't like what it said. So instead of repenting and getting right, he got angry at the word of God and said, "I won't stand for that." And you know why there's some people that won't sit in a church today? Because at some point they've got angry at the word of God. God, one of his arrows has pierced their soul. And instead of getting right and getting clean with God, they got angry with God. And they said, "I'll not have that. I won't go back to that church. If he's going to preach that way, I won't go back there." Let me say this and I'll move on. You can disregard the word of God. You can despise the word of God. But you better deal with the Word of God before it deals with you. I see the process. I see the purpose. Write this down, number three. I see the permanence. I see the permanence. Look at verse 28. God speaks to Jeremiah again, and he says, "Take thee again another roll, and write in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned." When the wicked king destroys the word of God, he thought that he had stamped God out forever. God just simply told Jeremiah to write it all down again. I see that God's word, letter A, is eternal. Over the centuries, the enemy has tried to stamp out God. They've tried to destroy God, and they've tried to destroy God's word. But Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word is an eternal word, and they can outlaw God's word. They can burn God's word. They can kill those that stand for God's word. But God's word is alive today, and it'll be alive tomorrow. And anybody that thinks they can stamp out God has too high opinion of themselves and too low of opinion of God. Our God's word will stand through all eternity. And if this will stand while the world's on fire, I suggest you listen to it now. I see the eternal, but I see the extra, and I'm done. I see the extra. If you read verse 30, 31, 32, you'll discover something. God says this to Jeremiah. He said, "All right, here's what I want you to do. Get another scroll. Write it all down again, Jeremiah. Oh, but this time, I want you to add a few things." You understand the book of Jeremiah would have stopped with chapter 36 if the king hadn't done what he did, right? But Jeremiah just keeps going on and on for more chapters. He said, "Here's the first thing I want you to add." He said, "Let's add some things about Jehoiakim." He said, "Write down that Jehoiakim will never have an heir rule in his place. He wants to burn my word. I'll bring judgment on him." Jehoiakim was taken off the throne. His son reigned for 3 months and was carried away into Babylon, never to be brought back. He never really had an heir sit on the throne of David. And God would bring an heir to the throne of David named Jesus Christ, but it wouldn't be through the line of Jehoiakim. You tell him there's judgment waiting on him. You tell him right here, he said, "I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquities. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judea and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not." He said, "You tell him that judgment's coming because he wouldn't listen to my word." And then he starts writing in the rest of the book of Jeremiah. And you know what almost the rest of the book of Jeremiah is? Pronouncements of judgment against different nations. Pronounce against Moab. Pronounce against Ammon. Pronounce against Egypt. Pronounce against Judah. It's judgment, judgment, judgment. When in chapter 36, God said, "I'll give them my word, and maybe they'll repent, and I won't have to bring judgment." But somebody wouldn't listen. And so God had to add judgment to him. This Bible that we hold this morning is still God's word. You know why God gave you this word? Because God wants you to repent. And God wants you to avoid judgment. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to avoid judgment after death. He gave you his word on it. He said in John chapter 3, he said, "I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I believe it's John 3. He said in John 3, he said that he came not in the world to condemn the world. That's what I was looking for. I came not in the world to condemn the world, that the world through me might have life. Right here it is. He does not want you to face the judgment of hell. And he gave you his word to help you avoid that. But neighbor, you ignore what this Bible says about heaven and hell. You ignore what this Bible says about salvation. And he's going to add some extra. He don't want to. But one day you'll wake up in that hell. You'll wake up in that place of torment. On that day, you'll not be able to say, God wasn't fair. God shouldn't have done this to me. Because I believe God will remind you throughout all eternity of every preacher that's ever stood in a pulpit and told you the Word of God. Amen. And you said no. Can I say after God saved you, God wants you to live? I'm going to sound like Joel Osteen. God wants you to live the best life you can live. And you know how you live a good life? You live a life of peace by taking heed to this word. And when you fail to heed this word, God has no choice but to bring judgment into your life to get you back in line. And there's some people that they've heard the word of God, and God's been long-suffering, and they thought, well, God's not going to do anything about that. But God doesn't forget. God may just be giving you a space to repent, but that door may be closing sometime soon. You better repent while you can. I wouldn't want to be the one that ignored the Word of God, and I sure wouldn't want to be the one that got angry at the Word of God. Amen. I want you to think about this with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is my invitation. This is my invitation. I wonder what kind of heartache it's costing our nation because we will not listen to the Word of God. I wonder what kind of heartache it's costing our world because we will not listen to the Word of God. I wonder what heartache it's costing our churches because we will not listen to the Word of God. But I wonder what kind of heartache it's costing you because you will not listen to the Word of God.